This is a Holy Ghost time. This is a Holy Ghost morning. This is a Holy Ghost service. This is a Holy Ghost fire. This is a Holy Ghost overflow. If you have loved ones and relatives, maybe you don't have children, but nieces and nephews, just lift their names up before God this morning and decree and declare that they will get a fresh touch out of heaven, a fresh outpouring. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Oh, halalama, shalalabaha. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, awakening, an awakening over our young people, our children, our grandchildren, our relatives, an awakening, a moment in God, hallelujah, an angelic being to stand right in front of them and block their way if they're going on the wrong path. Hanamasha katala, to the right, to the left, that angelic being will stand in front of them, oh, with his hands out, hanana, no, 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 he'll say, go this way, not that. And to turn them back on the path toward God. Hallelujah. Arrest them, oh God. Wash, wash, wash. Wash this morning with heaven's water. In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I love you. You're precious. You can go back to your seat. Glory to God. Fresh outpouring. Hallelujah. Ramasa Rabahara Bokoro Bosa. Oh, la 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 la. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Never, 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 never get discouraged with your children. Never get discouraged with your relatives. No, never, never get discouraged. No, never. Never, never, for who will stand, says the Spirit of the Lord? Who will pray, says the Spirit of God? Who will intercede, says heaven this morning? If you become discouraged and turn away, stand strong, stay on your watchtower of prayer, says the Spirit of the Lord. And pray and intercede, and do not get discouraged and allow discouragement to turn your heart down. But look up, look up, look up, look up. Look up and intercede and see, a day is coming, an hour is here, Rokashi Kalamanda, when the young people will be set aflame in a fire, Rashinanol, and the devils and the demons and the darkness of this world will be turned back and they'll run over them. The young people will run over them and step upon them, says the Spirit of God, and not be consumed by them, but step over them in Jesus. Hallelujah, glory to God. Come on, give God a thanks this morning. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Heaven's river, heaven's refreshing, heaven's pool, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your anointing. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your divine intervention. We thank you for your divine direction this morning. We are nothing but a vessel, but we're filled with God's glory and God's power and God's gifts. And we yield to you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, for having your way in our lives. And I pray, Father, as people sit and listen, and those that may be listening after, through a CD, I pray, Father God, that revelation will come, not from my words or what I have to say, but heaven's revelation to come into their spirit, revelation that will bring and effect a change until Jesus comes, direction in their lives. And Lord God, I ask you this morning by the Holy Spirit that your anointing would rest on every single person today. And that anointing will be so sweet that, Lord Jesus, you will sweeten the bitter waters that some are drinking from. And that as your word says in Psalm 84, our tears are only for one thing, to become a pool of refreshing. That we take the water and splash it on all those that are around us, and they become consumed with heaven's life. For there's life in the water that comes out of the throne room. We give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Reveal to us where we are today. Reveal to us who we are today. Reveal to us where we're going today. Reveal to us why we're going through what we're going through. Reveal to us the purpose in it, we pray in Jesus' name.
Fear not, my daughters, for on this day I call you my daughters. For I am he who has stood in the gap and made up the hedge in every situation for you. For I have interceded for you. Know that I have you covered, for in your weakness my strength is perfected. In every situation, I have you covered.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Christine, thank you for being the Holy Spirit. This church is full of the gifts of the Spirit. You're a gift, and you have gifts in you for God to use. How many received that word that she said and were blessed by it and by her obedience? So this morning, I'm glad you're here. And thank you for coming. Thank you for honoring me, Nikki, and all the ladies that helped and cooked and the beautiful words that were said. I'm very humbled. Some people have no affirmation at all and no appreciation, and they're serving God in places where their life is in danger and they're persecuted. You know, I'm a blessed woman. I'm blessed. Thank you. Thank you for honoring me today. Truly, we love you. Pastor Paul and I love you all. I just wanted to say that. And thank you for that cake. I'm going to look forward to eating it. I've been sending out birthday cards to people who we have a record of when their birthdays are. If we don't have a record of when your birthday is and you attend Harvest Church, make sure you get it in, because we write birthday cards. And I write them and put in what God tells me to put in them. But almost in every single one for November, I said, eat cake. I prophesied out and I got it, what I said. I believe this morning by the Spirit of God that what I have to share is so simple. I was actually telling both my daughter-in-laws when they were saying, you know, what are you going to share on, or, you know, how you doing and are you getting your message? And I said, well, I got the clay, I got the vessel, and now I'm praying for God to give me the rest. And he's so precious. He loves us so much, and he did. So this is very simple, but I believe by the Spirit of God that even looking at these objects this morning, the Lord's going to speak some things to you about yourself, who you are, where you are, why you're going through what you're going through, what's going on inside in the spirit realm in your life. And you're going to get revelation as we share this morning, as I share this morning, about you. And we all need that revelation from the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to start out by reading this. I actually heard Joyce Meyer read this, and I couldn't believe my ears, because it's exactly what I had on my spirit to read. And even as I read this, just keep your spirit open to the Lord for him to share with you something that he has for you specifically today. The teacup. A couple went into an antique shop, and they saw the most beautiful little teacup high up on a shelf. They admired it and said, "We have to have this little teacup." When suddenly the teacup began to talk. "I've not always been like this, you know. There was a time when nobody would have wanted me. There was a time I was not attractive at all. You see, there was a time in my life when I was just a little hard, gray lump of clay. The master potter came along and picked me up one day and began to pat me and reshape me. And I said, 'Stop that. What are you doing? That hurts. Leave me alone.' And he simply looked at me with a little smile and said, 'Not yet.' Then he put me on this wheel and began to spin me around and around and around. I got so dizzy, I could hardly see where I was going. I felt like losing it. Everything was spinning around, and I didn't know what was going on anymore, and felt sick to my stomach. And I said, get me out of here. And he smiled and said, not yet. This is speaking to some of you already, huh? Finally, the day came when all the spinning gave me another shape. Padding and molding and pinching gave me another shape. All of a sudden, he put me into a furnace, and it was called the first firing. It was so hot in there, I couldn't believe how hot it was. Anybody in the furnace today? I said, I can't stay in this. I'm going to die. You have to get me out of here. Don't you love me? Have you ever asked God, don't you love me? I have. Why are you leaving me in here? The oven door had glass, and the master could see me, and he just had a big grin on his face and a certain look in his eyes. But he wouldn't let me out. He smiled and said, not yet. Finally, the oven door opened, and he took me out and set me on the shelf. And I thought, phew, it's over. He began to paint me all over with stinky paint, changing my color from gray to a pretty blue that I am now. But I said, this stuff stinks, and it's choking me. Stop it, stop it, stop it. I don't like this smell. And all he would say is, not yet. Then he put me back into the second oven called the second firing, and it was twice as hot as the first. I thought, now I'm really going to die for sure. Get me out of here. I can't stand it. He looked through the glass with a smile and said, guess what? Not yet. One day the door finally opened and the master put me on a shelf to cool off. And after I cooled off, one day he came and handed me a mirror. And I looked at myself. I couldn't believe how beautiful I was. I could not believe how much I had changed. Why, I did not look anything like that old gray lump of clay that I had started out as. Now I am this beautiful, delicate teacup, and everybody wants me. There was a time in my life when nobody wanted me, but now I'm special. But it wasn't always that way. How many of you can say in your life that you've experienced those times where you feel like you're being poked and prodded and nudged and worked on and worked over? And I have. But you have to remember something. The title of this message is Ouch, A Lesson from the Clay. And I heard the Holy Spirit so clearly say that to me over the summer. And this summer was a difficult summer for me. I don't need to go into the whys and the wherefores and the hows. But I feel like Pastor and I have been through a lot of challenges, but I personally, I felt like this summer was really wicked for me as a person, as a woman, as a wife, as a mother, as a grandmother, as a pastor, as a believer. And so I did a lot of praying and a lot of seeking the face of the Lord. And one day I was just driving in my car and I heard him say, ouch. And I thought, wow, what does that mean? So that's what this message came out of, my own life. So I'm going to share that with you. And I believe that people need to be honest. And life is not all peachy and rosy every single day. And a lot of times we hear wonderful testimonies or we see great, strong people, but we have no idea what went on behind the scenes or in their life or in their history even. And I think that we need to share that sometimes, you know, to say, life's been rough. I had a challenge. Everything's not great. I'm going through it. You know, there's stuff going on. And be honest with each other. And you know, I'm a person who speaks about speaking God's word and positively confessing God's word. But there are times in our lives that if we can share our heart with somebody and talk with them, it's a good thing to do. It's not a bad thing. And then to move on and seek the face of the Lord. And you know, I heard the Lord say this about this message about the clay and the potter when I was praying yesterday. I heard so clearly in my spirit. He said, everything's going on the wheel. In our life, everything is going to go on the wheel as a believer. Your marriage is going to go on that wheel. Your body may go through things where you don't know what's happening and what hit you. It's going to be on the wheel, the potter's wheel, that lump of clay, being worked on, being worked over. Your job, your family, children. Look what's going on in the world. If you were here and you attend this church, you heard me say a few weeks ago, I saw a gavel in my spirit man come down and say, order. Order in the court. Heaven is run like a courtroom. And God's the judge of all the earth. The Bible says he's going to do justly. And judgment has hit this world. And people, especially believers, we need to live on God's side. Because if we're living one foot in, one foot out, our life's going to be on the wheel. And things will be exposed that we don't want exposed. So that's what the Lord said. Everything's going to go on the wheel. So whatever that means to you, just take it as from the Lord. And turn your Bible to Jeremiah 18. You know, sometimes we feel like, and this summer, I can honestly say that I felt like a shapeless mess. You know, when you look at clay, it's really ugly. It doesn't even feel good. I don't even like the feel of it. You know, there wasn't a lot in the Word. I was so excited about this message, but when I went to Jeremiah 18 to read about the potter, there was like three verses, and then I looked up every commentary pastor had, and they didn't say a lot about it. But the Lord said things to me about it, and that's what I'm sharing with you today. So, you know, clay's not really that pretty, and sometimes we feel like a big mass of nothingness in our life goes on the wheel, and God's making something. So Jeremiah 18:1 says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, and we can just stop there, because each one of us, every day, we need to get a word from the Lord in this life, in our situation, in our daily walk. And we need to stop and take time to listen. What is God's word to me? He has a word for you. He has a word for me. He loves us. He cares about us. And he wants to speak to us through his word and through the Spirit. So this word came to Jeremiah, and we can receive words from God. Jeremiah wasn't just a special person that got a word from God. We can all receive a word from the Lord. And the word was, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. And I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he was working at the wheel. And what the Spirit of God said to me right there when I read this was, we are a work in progress. And we're going to continue to be worked on by the Spirit of God, by our Father, by the Master Potter, our whole life till we get to heaven. Because it's a process. So we are a work in progress. Nobody's arrived. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's there. You know, this is a very nice picture. It's pretty. It's beautiful. But there's going to be seasons when we feel like that, even though we're this. And when we feel like that, let's rise up and take notice and say, oh, ouch, I'm a work in progress. I'm back on the wheel. Amen? And not worry and get bitter and say, poor me, why me? How is this happening to me? But let's just be aware that God is the potter and we're the clay. And God works on us for us to become what he wants us to be. He's not there to hurt us. He wants us to be a vessel unto honor. Verse 4 says, and the vessel that he was making from clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he made it over, reworking it into another vessel. So we know it's God. And we know he's working out a work for our good. What does Jeremiah say? It's like one of my favorite scriptures. God's saying, I know the plans I have for you, Dana. Plans that are good, not evil. Plans of hope in the future. Plans with a good end. Hallelujah. Plans not to harm you. You know, this doesn't feel good. And there's times when the potter gets these sharp instruments and pushes into the clay to get the air bubbles out. That doesn't feel good. But we know that God's working it out for our good. And so, I don't want to get ahead of myself. It says, so he made it over, reworking it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make it. And then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel. And this is what I feel that the Lord's asking. This is what he asked me, and this is what I believe he's asking us. Can I not do with you as this potter does, says the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. And that's us. We're in his hand. Turn over to Isaiah 64, verse 8. This isn't rocket science, ladies. It's just the message the Holy Spirit put on my heart. And I think if every one of us were to stand up and testify and be honest, we could say we're getting worked over. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
You know, there's times in your life when God comes along and he said everything's going on the wheel. Sometimes our relationships go on the wheel. And I've had many good friends in my life. And then all of a sudden, they were not there. And I've learned that even our relationships, our friendships, go on this wheel. And God doesn't, some people just walk out of your life because they're flaky. And some people are taken out of your life by the Spirit of the Lord when we didn't think that they should be taken out. But God, the master potter, knows best. And he takes away what needs to be taken away if we are a yielded piece of clay. How many of us are a yielded piece of clay? That we want to yield to the Spirit of God. Isaiah 64, 8. Is this speaking to anybody yet this morning?
Yes.
It says, yet, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you our potter, and we are all the work of your hand. And potter in the Hebrew means a creative work. It means to press. It means to be narrow. It means to be in distress. It means to mold into form. It means to squeeze into shape. It means to purpose. God is purposing us in the molding. And God as the potter has a plan for every one of our lives. Can you say amen? And when I looked up clay in the Hebrew, it meant, I just thought this was so precious, a bubbling up of water. You know, this doesn't look like it's bubbling up with anything. But what does the Bible say? There's rivers of what? Living water. Where? In our innermost being. And so even when we're getting worked over, there's a bubbling up that should come up. Not bitterness, but getting better. Betterness is not a word, but not bitterness, betterness. Where even though we're worked over, we're disappointed, we're hurt, something happened, somebody did something, we had a disappointment, we had a death, we had a divorce, we had a situation with a relative, children, friends. The word, the water of the word should be bubbling up from the inside of us. And the washing, Ephesians 5:26 says, we are washed. We are washed with the water of the word. Clay is a bubbling up. Vessel in the Hebrew is something prepared. How precious. A utensil, a weapon. How many of you want to be a weapon in the hands of the Lord to be used against the enemy? Amen? It's going to require some molding and work. A utensil, a weapon, an armor bearer. Listen, a jewel. A jewel. Some of you here this morning and some that may be listening do not see yourselves as a jewel. You see yourself as a big mass, a lump of nothingness. And by the Spirit of God today, I pray that the revelation of heaven will come down into this place and on his anointed words that we will say, I am not this. I am this, or I am a weapon, or I'm a utensil, or I'm a jewel. How beautiful that God sees us as a jewel and works on us to get us to the point, if we let him. I picture sometimes like this little lump of clay growing legs and hopping off the wheel and saying, I've had it, I'm done, I'm out of here. You know, we can do that. We can do that, it's a choice. We could say, I'm out of here, I'm done. So later for you, I'm God, I'm disappointed, blah, 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 blah. Or we could stay right on the wheel and let God make us into what he's purposing us to be. Amen? A jewel. It is a process. So the first process in making a vessel, and I learned this by, I couldn't find anything, so I just looked on my phone and Googled it and watched it. And this is what God gave me from watching it. It's called wedging. It's pressing. It's compressing. That's the first process. It gets all the air out. And you know why the air is all taken out? You probably know this, Kathy. If the air is not taken out with these pinchy wedges and things that they do and the crushing, it will explode in the fire. So we have a choice. Let God, let go. And when we're in the fire, do we explode and scream and cry and whine and complain? The purpose of wedging is to get all the air out. Matthew 7:14 says, you don't have to turn there just for sake of time. Jesus was talking and he said, the broad road leads to destruction and the narrow road leads to life. He said, the broad road, there's a lot of people on that road. Many are there that are on it. That was his words. But the narrow road, and that road leads to death, is what he said. But the narrow road, the obedient road, the road of pressure and compression, leads to life. And it's our choice what road we're going to walk on. It's our choice what we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to do in our life. I'm purposing to stay on the narrow road. Are you? Amen. Say amen. 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 The wedging process takes twice as long as the next two steps. And I found that very interesting. And what the Holy Spirit said to me is correction gives us direction. You know, we're corrected, we're molded, we're jagged, we're whatever that's going on. But it's correction and it gives us direction. And twice as long for time is I have found time to be a great teacher. You know, we would just be a bunch of little whiny brats if we got everything just handed to us on a silver platter. But as we wait on God and as we press into God and as we pursue God and as we seek God, and every one of us is waiting for things, can you say amen? Then we believe that we receive it, and time is a great teacher because nobody can teach me about me like God can. Nobody can get away with saying the stuff he said to me about me like he can. Because I had three older brothers, and I might just knock them out. Praise God. Hallelujah. If it wasn't God that said it. And something else I learned is that the potter, he never throws the clay away. He never throws the clay away. You know, people are people. They may mess up. They may do things that are wrong. But God is merciful and kind and just. And he never throws the clay away. He just takes the clay again and starts to rework it, remold it, refire it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody got a word on that. Amen. So the second process is the wheel. First was the wedging, and the second process is the wheel. And as I said before, everything in our life is going on that wheel. Everything. I can remember times, you know, and Pastor's one of the greatest men of God I know, and I live with him every day, so I tell him the truth. But there were seasons when my marriage went on the wheel, and it wasn't fun. It wasn't pleasant. Pastor was going through his own thing, suffering. He couldn't help me. He wasn't there for me at all in any way. He was mentally not there. He was emotionally not there. He was physically not there, as I've shared with the congregation a few times, where he just said, look, I can't deal with anything. I'm out of here. Wasn't leaving me or the marriage or the church or the family. He just went down with Brother Ted and didn't say when he'd be back. So, you know, as a woman, as a wife, and I have the best husband in the whole universe, I just wasn't used to that. And I had to say, okay, God, This marriage, it's on the wheel. You're the potter, I'm the clay. You're going to have to help me and be enough for me. And I'm going to have to trust you more with the church, with the family, with the finances, with everything. And God's faithful. Here we are. It turned around. But we have to learn, folks, that when things go totally crazy, we don't understand it, God is overshadowing and overseeing us, and he knows everything, like that beautiful word that Christine brought forth this morning. And I have to say, you may be there in your marriage today. You may be there in a relationship. I don't know. But especially to those that are married, I want to encourage you that if you just stay tucked in, just tucked under the shadow of the Almighty, and trust God and speak the word, God will bring it back better than it was. And I'm a testimony that Pastor and I's relationship is better than it ever was. And I've known him since I was 5, so that's a long time. If we stay on that wheel and we say, okay, God, do what you got to do. Amen? Praise God. So on the wheel, there's water added. We talked about the word and the water of the word. And another thing I noticed, and this man in this video kept saying, now the clay has to stay centered. The clay has to stay centered in the middle of the wheel while you're working on it. The clay has to stay centered. And I said, Lord, you know, what are you trying to speak to me? And what he said was this, Psalm 91, verse 1. Go there. Everybody say centered. Centered. Say it louder.
Centered.
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed underneath the shadow, not of the husband, the church, the government, the whatever, whatever, the best friend, the intercessor, underneath the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Stable and fixed in the center, under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. Praise God. Go over to 2 Corinthians 4:6. You know, there's sometimes things you can't tell anybody, church. And you shouldn't. There are things for you and God. There are things that at some time maybe he'll allow you to share. There was nobody I could tell. I didn't tell anybody about what I felt like with Pastor Paul, saying, see, I got to get out of here. I don't know what's happening. I think I'm having a breakdown of some kind. Who was I going to tell that to? He was the pastor of the church. And I didn't, and now I can. So there's things that sometimes you need to just work out. You on the wheel with the potter and let God do his work. Amen?
Amen.
2 Corinthians 4:6-9. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to beam forth the light for the illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and glory of God, as it is manifest in person and is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ the Messiah. However, we possess this precious treasure, this divine light of the gospel, in frail human vessels of clay, that the grandeur and exceeding greatness, you know, there's nothing great in clay. The greatness is in the potter and what he's making out of the clay. The greatness of the power may be shown to be from God and not from ourselves. We are hedged in and pressed on every side, troubled and oppressed in every way, but not cramped or crushed. We suffer embarrassments and are perplexed and unable to find a way out, but we're not driven to despair. We are pursued and persecuted and hard driven, but not deserted to stand alone. We are struck down to the ground, but never struck out and destroyed. Praise God. Why? Because we're under the shadow of the Almighty. And I can just say, I don't know about anybody else, but it seems like in my life and in my experience in life, all these things came at one time. It wasn't like I was crushed one day and perplexed 6 months later. I was knocked down 1 hour and, and in despair a year later. It was all at once, like they say, a perfect storm, where it all hits you at one moment, and you're like, ah. Anybody say amen? Or ouch. But we're under the shadow of the Almighty. And we have to remember something. I noticed this watching this man work this clay on this wheel. His hand never came off the clay one time. It was spinning on the wheel, and he had his foot going underneath, causing it to spin at a regular interval. And he was, his one hand was always on the clay. This hand might have gotten water or something, but one hand was always on the clay. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, my hand is never off your life. Come on, somebody say hallelujah. No matter how scary it gets, no matter how dark it gets, no matter how strange it gets, no matter how overwhelming it gets, no matter how weary we get, remember his hand, the hand of God, the master potter. Look what he created. He created the earth. He created the world. He created the universes. He created the galaxies. He created you. He created me. Look what he created. His hand is always on the clay. Let's turn to Isaiah 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Praise you, Lord. Those who wait for the Lord and who expect and look for and hope in him. Remember, the wedging takes time. The wheel takes time. We're waiting. Look for and hope in him shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles, mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. We're waiting, but we're running. Hallelujah. We're waiting, but we're walking. Hallelujah. We're waiting, but we're trusting. Hallelujah. Proverbs, you don't have to turn there. 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Amen? And the third process is firing. Permanent changes take place in the firing. When this vessel goes in to the firing, permanent changes take place. How many of you want to change? And how many want those changes to stay permanent? And then there's another reworking and a new change, permanent. Amen? And listen to this. I just wanted to get up and run when I read this. Strength is increased in the heat. In the fire, the vessel gets stronger and stronger and harder and easier to bear the burden because it's in the fire. Do we like the fire? No, I don't like the fire. Anybody here like the fire? If you're honest, firing converts weak clay. This is what this man said. Firing converts weak clay into a strong, durable form. This is like all gushy mushy. But this doesn't feel like that. This is hard and useful and filled with God's glory and shiny. Why? So we can pour some glory out on someone else where we go. Praise God. It's not all about us being wedged and being worked over. It's not all about us. There's other people that are waiting for us to pour something out on them. It isn't going to happen, church, if we don't go through the fire. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's turn to Isaiah 41:10. Hallelujah. God is trying to train us, not kill us. You feel like it sometimes, huh, Cameron? No, he's trying to train us, not kill us. Our success comes out of our struggle. Hey, listen, if I was up here and I said, you're never going to have a trial. I've never had a trial in my whole life. I've never been tested. I've never gone through the fire, Carrie. Nothing's ever gone wrong. It's just been a sweet ride all the way. Glory to Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you even listen to me? But because of the trial, because of the test, because of the fire that each one of us goes through, we have a testimony. Without the test, girls, there's no money. Amen? Hallelujah. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not. Christine, you gave this word right on, my dear. Fear not, there's nothing to fear. I am with you. Do not look around you in terror and be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. Who's holding us up? The Lord's holding us up. Come on, let's just praise him right now, right where you sit. Just give him a shout of thanks and praise that he's holding you up. He's holding me up. His hand is never off us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is trying to train us, not kill us. Turn over to 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. We're going to be trained. We're going to be exercised by the things that we go through. Not pleasant, but we go through them. And that's the word right there. We don't stay there. We go through and we come out. I love what Brother Ted said. If you didn't get that CD, I would suggest that you get it, where he talked about the cycles and the seasons of faith. He said there's breakthrough and then there's resistance. There's breakthrough and then there's resistance. There's breakthrough and then there's resistance. It's a cycle. We don't always live in resistance, but we don't always live in breakthrough either. We're warriors. We've been given a set of armor. We're made for a battle. We belong to the army of the Lord. He didn't give us this armor to sit around and drink tea. He put it on us so that we could go forward and move in the Spirit. Amen? 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13. Beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality, as though something strange and unusual and alien to you and your position were befalling you. But insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, rejoice, so that when his glory, full of radiance and splendor, is revealed, you may also rejoice with triumph excellently. So what is he saying here? Don't be bewildered and wonder. I just pray that after this, we will know what's going on. But we're on the potter's wheel again, spinning around, and he's working us over, but something good and glorious is going to come out of it. Amen? Somebody say amen. Amen. And I love this. Clay shrinks in the fire. And so what does the word say? In John 3:30, John wrote, he must increase and I must decrease. So in the fire, in the trial, in the test, in the affliction, what's happening is that the flesh is being burned off. And we're decreasing, but God is increasing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you want God to increase? Yes. We're going to be in the fire sometimes, but God is going to increase and we're going to shrink. Good. Maybe we'll lose some weight in there too. Glory to God. Turn to Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Hallelujah. But now, in spite of past judgments for Israel's sins, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, and O whatever your name is, you can write it in there. He who formed you, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have ransomed you by paying a price instead of leaving you a captive. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, the first process, the second process, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned or scorched, nor will the flame kindle upon you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Turn to Isaiah 45 and verse 3. We're not going to drown. We're not going to burn. We're just going to get better. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm getting better. I'm being made into a jewel. Amen? Isaiah 45, 2 and 3. I will go before you, level the mountains to make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut asunder the bars of iron. Listen, it's dark in that fire and it's scary. He says here, I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who calls you by your name. Unless we go into the fire, we can't be glazed and painted and beautified. I mean, if you try, like, putting some makeup on this, putting some paint on this, it's not going to work. But after this, and in, out of this fire, it's painted, it's glazed, it's beautified. Somebody say, I'm getting beautified. When I looked up that scripture in Isaiah 45:3, where it says, I'll give you treasures, this is what it means in the Hebrew, treasures. A storehouse. We're a storehouse. Treasures. God's got treasures. Somebody take that this morning. A depository to be poured out on others. That's what a treasure is. Some people are struggling with jobs right now. Just lift your hands and receive that God is working. God has treasures for you in this season, and he's going to take care of you and lead you to the right job. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Last scripture, Isaiah 48:10. Isaiah 48:10. Behold, this is God speaking to us. I have refined you. I want to be refined. I don't want to be the lady I was yesterday. I don't want to be the person that another relative in my bloodline was. I don't want to have that attitude. I don't want to have that personality trait. I don't even want that DNA. Because we have the divine nature of the Almighty. And we are made in his image, formed in his likeness. And it's time to rise up, grow up, think up, look up, act up. Not in a negative sense, but in a heavenly sense. And stop using these excuses. They were like that. My mother was like that. My father was like that. They had that disease. I'm going to have that disease. No, 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 no. The potter is making us. We have his divine nature on the inside of us. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Did I read Isaiah 48:10? Behold, I refined you, but not as silver. I've tried and chosen you. Oh, that sounds good. But then it says in the furnace of affliction. Ah, ouch. Yeah, but that's where all that happens. Well, we're not like the person we were yesterday. We're growing more like our maker, our master, the potter, our father. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And it's only those who've been in the fire who can talk about the victories. Amen. If you've never gone through anything, if you've never had a test, I said it before, you won't have a testimony. I don't want to talk to people who've never been through anything. Just leave me alone. I don't want to hear a word you have to say. You have all these people on the news, you're like, they're telling the world how it's going to be. God forgive me. But if you haven't been through something, listen, Jesus went through everything. He was rejected. He was beaten. He was bruised. His friend Judas and the disciples betrayed him. And the Bible says in the Living Translation, he's going to have scars for eternity on his hands, his feet, his side, his head. We're not going to be scarred. So the things that we go through are for our benefit. It's not always from the enemy. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
It's to rise us up and grow us up and cause us to become a vessel that's pure and holy, that God can fill with his glory and his presence and his gifts, so we can go through the world and be a light in the darkness and pour out God's word and pour out God's comfort and pour out a smile and pour out a testimony. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You can stand to your feet this morning. I'm done.
Glory to God.
Come here, Kathy. Can I have that microphone for her? Thank you.
When I first got involved in ceramics, that was the scripture that the Lord had for me. on a piece of paper as I was wrapping up someone's greenware. And it has been a scripture that has kept me for 42 years. Now, when you look at this beautiful vessel and you see the process that the Master has for us, it takes at least 24 hours to open that kiln, to take the vessel out. So you can see what Pastor Carolyn is saying. It takes time, and we wait on the Lord.
Amen. 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 And as we wait on the Lord, we'll run and not be weary. Amen.